Welcome to today's New Life Live podcast. Today's podcast is brought to you by you. Your donations make this podcast possible. Please consider donating today using the New Life app, visit newlife.com, or call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Welcome to New Life Live with host and founder of New Life Ministries, Stephen Arterburn. New Life Live is dedicated to transforming lives one at a time, thanks to the giving hearts of you, our listeners. Our goal is to provide you with wisdom from God's Word to give you hope and help in life's hardest places. If you have a question you'd like to ask today, our phone lines are open. Call 1-800-229-3000. That number again is 1-800-229-3000. Now here's Steve.
Actually, it's Becky Brown. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever it is that you are hearing us. It is so good to be with you today. And I am joined with Mylan Yurkovich. And we are waiting on Dr. Jill Hubbard. She will arrive soon. But we're so glad that you're here, Mylan, and looking forward to sharing some time. But you know what? We had, it's one of those weird events, and we are going to ask you, listeners, if you have a question for us today. Our phone lines are down right now. And so if you would like to pose a question, we would love to answer it. You can go to our YouTube channel at New Life Ministries. Just, you know, do a search on YouTube. You'll find us. And we're live there now. And you can post a question there, and we will answer on the air. And we're going to pray that those phone lines come up real quick, and we'll be able to take your calls. And we're so happy to do that. But I was talking to Mylan earlier about a t-shirt that I saw at the department store the other day. And on the t-shirt, it said, "Reclaim Your Future." And I thought, that is a pretty powerful statement. Many times in counseling, we talk about people struggling with their past. It's, you know, they want to reclaim their past. And we always tell people, your past is over. Like, you can't change that. But you can certainly make a difference in your future. So, Mylan, what would you like to say about reclaiming your future? Hi, Jill. Welcome.
Hello.
Hello.
Yes, well, what were you saying?
Well, with respect to reclaiming your future, it sort of begs a question. If I'm reclaiming it, that means once upon a time I had claimed it. Mm. And a lot of people have never contemplated their future or have never really plotted out their future. So there's nothing to reclaim. They just sort of move from event to event, and they don't have a lot of forward thinking. But I think this is a great time in the midst of the various crises that is upon our country and the world for us to really stop and be very contemplative about who am I? What is my shape? What are my passions? What do I really want to live for? And I think that's an important place for us to take stock. And a lot of times when people go through difficult things, a tragedy or an accident or something, they stop and they take stock and they ask those questions. What would you say, Jill?
Well, kind of in the midst of what you're describing, kind of doing some of the grieving that needs to happen, you know, for things, you know, for losses and hurts and things like that, because I think we have to work through those things in order to move forward, right? But I like what you're saying. You can't reclaim something you've never claimed. So some of it is establishing, like you're saying, who you are, what's your identity, and then what are you going to contribute, right? What do you have to offer? I think is an important thing, because we can sit back and we can be upset about what has been done to us, but at some point we have to say, okay, but regardless, I have to, you know, have do something on my own, right?
Sure, sure. And I think there's one other factor that in order to be able to do that, Becky and Jill, you have to be able to acknowledge reality.
Yes.
I talked to two people within the last 7 days that only wanted to be positive and see the positive and just talk positive and not talk about anything negative. And that's not reality. That is fairy tale-ish kind of living. And we have to be able to assess reality and what's truth in order to be able to move positively into our future.
You know, I love both of your perspectives always, and I just think it was such a powerful statement, reclaim your future. And one of the workshops that we have coming up in March is our Emotional Freedom Workshop, and so many of those things that you just talked about, we're going to address at that workshop. So if you're interested, you can call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE and find out more. We'll be right back.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
Hello. Welcome back. It is a fun day here at New Life. In case you didn't know, we're trying to answer your questions, but our phone lines for the questions are down. So, but we have some folks that are posting questions on our YouTube channel, and you can do the same. If you go to YouTube and go to New Life Ministries, you'll see us there. And but we do have a call that came in, a question that came in, and it's from Jack, and he's calling from Indianapolis, Indiana, and Jack asks, he has a best friend who's a female, but there's nothing physical, and asks, should I be in this friendship if it won't go further? And I'm presuming that he's trying to discern that what the future is, we're talking about reclaiming your future, what the future would be for this relationship. So either of you, I'm going to see if I've got a little bit more information concerning this, but what are your thoughts on how do you begin a relationship?
Well, so I'm imagining that they've had this conversation and that he's aware. I mean, if he hasn't, I think there needs to be a conversation. What are our expectations here? Because I think in any friendship relationship with someone of the opposite sex, you kind of have to determine some things. Otherwise, there's this tension here, there, right? And I think, you know, some relationships are just friendships. And right. Do we, you know, I think you have to ask yourself, I may not, you know, I may want more in this relationship, but would I want to not have this friendship?
Okay.
Right?
I think we have Jack on the phone. Jack, are you there?
I wondered if I was on or not. Can you hear me?
Oh, yay, yay.
Yay, good. Okay, Jack, go ahead, and Jill can ask whatever.
Did you want to add anything, Jack, to your question?
Yeah, well, Jill, thank you. We have had this conversation a little bit, and, you know, this is not a friendship that I want to lose at all.
Okay.
But this is what I think that I've done is I've played my cards right enough that I haven't shown my full hand when it comes to talking about maybe that there's a crush or maybe that I want this to go further and kind of felt things out. The feel out conversation did not go well.
Okay.
So, or did not go how I had hoped. And so I have at least this information, but I haven't disclosed to her, you know, what I would rather have happen, because I don't want to lose, the friendship.
Mm-hmm. So she's basically not in the same spot that you're in.
Yeah, that's correct.
Right. And so you don't want to lose her, so which then tells me you're probably willing to hang in there. But are you willing to look at the fact that it may never go the way you want it to go? Like, there's no guarantees. I mean, lots of times things start out as friends, and eventually, you know, something does happen. Not always. And so
I always wonder if there isn't a benefit in kind of stating your case early on, not to pressure the other person, but just to be vulnerable enough to say, you know, I know that you like me as a friend, but I think I have stronger feelings towards you, and not kind of pressure her to make a decision based on that, but just to let them know where you are. Because I think so many times in those early days, it may be that, like you just said, Jill, she may come around, but if she doesn't, then you haven't kept something from that friendship or from that relationship. So it's
I don't know. I think you could go either way on that. I think it's a call, you know, based on who that other person is, you know, and, you know, not I think not confessing all too fast or too soon, because that may scare the person away. But being respectful of the fact that if they're saying what they're telling you, that's what you have to go with as reality. Mm-hmm. And I wouldn't put all my eggs in one basket in terms of just holding out hoping she'll come around. I would treat it as a friendship if that's how she's treating it. And I would be open to other opportunities as well, right?
Well, so maybe we have a male perspective too. Mylan, what are your thoughts about what Jack should do or consider in this situation?
What do you mean maybe? I mean, there's no maybe here. Of course I have a male perspective.
I would love
to hear
it. Of course I do. Thanks for putting the maybe subjunctive tense in there. So, you know, Jack, you presented to us a dilemma. Mm-hmm. See, a dilemma is two bad choices I have to choose between.
Yeah.
And so I either tell her that my affections for her, I'd like the relationship to develop more fully. And if you don't do that, then you're stuck holding in something. And then she's really not a best friend because she doesn't know your soul. She doesn't know your mind and your heart. So at some level, and I agree with Jill and Becky, it has to be in
timing.
I was just going to say that, but thank you for interrupting.
Sorry. And remember, we want the male perspective.
You know, I thought you guys said you wanted a male perspective here.
We do.
So I was just going to say, it has to. This is so funny. It has to be
kind of.
Okay. Here we go.
Silencio, I won't interrupt.
Silencio.
Silencio, ladies.
Silencio, por favor. Now, it's an appropriate time for you to talk to her and tell her that. But if you have a deep friendship, you might lose her if, in fact, you say, I like you more than perhaps, and I'd like to develop a deep relationship with you, possibly a permanent one. If she says that's not possible, then one of the things you're going to have to do is, if you're always in a state of fear that I don't want to lose the friendship, so I'm not going to be congruent with my true feelings and thoughts, then you don't have a real relationship.
That's true.
You're not fully bringing yourself into the relationship. So I think if she then says, I could never go there with you, Jack, to go into a deeper relationship, then that answers the basic question. And you're going to have to grieve that. You're going to have to let that go and then fold in what Jill just said. If I really do want to have a relationship with someone that is deeper and develop, you know, marriage someday, then I'm going to have to meet some other people and I'm going to have to let her go to a certain level. And that's a hard journey because it's painful, it's grievous, it hurts, and it's not easy.
It isn't easy. Relationships never are easy, but
no, they're not.
We appreciate you calling, Jack, and just hope the best for this way forward. What were you going to say, Jill?
What about, should we send him, is this the one?
I was thinking of that as well.
Okay,
so
good.
I think that's great. We'll send Jack, is this the one?
I have a different opinion. No, I'm just
kidding. No, actually, I was thinking of how we love, too. But, but is this the one would be good because of the time.
I totally agree.
Yeah.
I have another question that came in, and this question is from Beth, and she is asking, what steps can I take to have a relationship with my sister-in-law who has borderline tendencies, and I never know if she likes me or dislikes me in the moment? She's the same with my husband. So any ideas that you would suggest for having a relationship with a sister-in-law who has borderline tendencies? And that's kind of a tricky kind of diagnosis in that, first of all, I don't know if she's actually diagnosed with borderline personality disorder or if that's just the take. But what would you two offer for family unity and connection?
I think that I love Steve's favorite word of the year last year. It was tricky.
Yes.
If you recall,
he said
my favorite word of the
really?
Year, and it was going to be for 2020, is tricky. And this is tricky because when I have a relative, and I think, let's broaden this out a little bit. I think that all family systems have difficult members of family systems, you know, in the family. And I think we have to be polite and cordial, and we mustn't try to interpret what the other person is thinking and feeling. We just have to simply be ourselves and be kind and loving and do our very best. But when you're dealing with someone that has borderline traits and characteristics, or someone that is down the scale from that, and what we would call the preoccupied ambivalent person, it's important to be forthright and honest, but not allow your view of self to be dictated by how they treat you. Mm-hmm. That's really important.
That's where the tricky part comes
yeah.
in.
Yeah,
it's
yes.
right, because they're family. And mm-hmm. I'm in for a repeated lifetime series of experiences. And then you might just have to also reflect and decide, what can we do? What kinds of opportunities will we choose to exercise with this family member? For instance, we may only do group activities with a larger group. We mm-hmm. won't try and have a two-on-two dinner. You know, it's just too difficult. Mm-hmm. And you're going to have to assess how far can I go into this relationship?
Well, and I think you're going to have to allow for there to be disappointment. Mm-hmm. This person may be disappointed a lot, may have certain expectations. Mm-hmm. And that's what, Mylon, when you were saying to not allow them to be dictated or their view of self to be dictated. Sometimes there's a tendency with someone like this is like you always want to stay on their good side and you're trying to please them and they can't be pleased. And so you just let them have that. They're entitled to have their feelings and you're entitled to have yours. And you can be empathic without, I think, engaging in trying to make them okay.
I think what you said is really important, because there is a desire to appease
yes.
and to
yep.
and to
keep
sort
the peace,
of keep the
you know?
Peace.
Mm-hmm.
And we have to be courageous enough to be ourselves.
Yeah.
That's what makes the world go round. I mean, really and truly, if we can fix this family thing, and that is multiple across the world, right? It mm-hmm. can make such a difference in the bigger picture. But
yes.
it's the challenge we hear about every day.
Mm-hmm.
There's a great book that I've recommended and read several years ago. It's by Edwin Friedman, and the name of the book is A Failure of Nerve. Mm-hmm. And he was a organizational consultant in Washington, D.C. He's also a rabbi. He's since passed away, but the premise of the book, A Failure of Nerve, is systems, whether it's corporate, whether it's a synagogue, a church, an organization, or a family, often the group will rotate around the orbit of the most toxic or most mm-hmm. unhealthy person.
Yep.
And so there's a collective failure of nerve of the family or of the people to say, no, I'm not going to orbit around this individual anymore. Mm. We're going to rise up and say, no, not going to dance here. Mm. We're not going to let you be the conductor, and we're not going to, because of fear, allow you to be the one that we all rotate around trying to appease and maintain and manage. Because really that orbit is a management system. How do we mm-hmm. manage you?
Mm-hmm.
And it's a great book.
But it sounds like a great book.
Yeah.
We don't carry it, but there we'll find
no,
it somewhere.
No, it sounds really good.
Well, he's
and
not,
I love the premise.
Yes,
you know?
He's not a Christian, but it's the Judeo-Christian ethic.
Right.
Because he's a rabbi.
Mm-hmm. Right.
That he said, we have to get stronger and not let the weakest member of the family control us.
Mm, wonderful.
Now, having grown up in the home that did
yes.
that, it really resonated with me. It
well,
really
I was going to say,
yeah.
yeah, I was going to say that's the picture of codependency too. It's where
well,
that
right.
powerful person that kind of everybody revolves around.
Mm-hmm. So. Well, and you know what, too, people don't. I mean, it becomes patronizing too. So even though that person is toxic, people don't like to be managed.
Right.
Right. At some level, it doesn't feel good, and it I think kicks things up more for that person. So if you unhook from that. From revolving around them or managing them. You manage yourself, right?
That's right.
And what you can tolerate and what you can't tolerate.
And right. you may draw the ire and the wrath of the person for not
yep.
cooperating.
Yes, you might.
See,
mm-hmm.
right.
Well, you won't draw my ire or wrath, if that's such a way to say that. But guess what? We got good news. The phone lines are back up.
Woo!
So you can call us at 1-800-229-3000. We're going to be taking your calls for the next couple hours. So, you know, I know that you are wanting to call, and now you can. But when we come back from the break, we are going to take one of the questions that we got from our YouTube viewer, and I don't want to overlook that. But we'll come back, and we'll answer your calls. We'll answer all the calls from people who are going to be calling. And we're going to help with some of those family systems that we're talking about. In the meantime, you know, we mentioned about the Emotional Freedom Workshop, and I want to encourage you, if you need help, this may be the workshop for you to address some of those things that have been, you know, kind of holding you back from experiencing your full life. And we want to encourage you to check it out at newlife.com or call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. We'll be right back.
We'd love to hear from you. If you have a question or a comment, call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
Welcome back. We are so glad to be here, and we're going to take your calls. You can call us at 1-800-229-3000. We're going to be taking your calls for the next couple hours. And but we did offer for you to ask a question on YouTube, and we had a question come in from Nick. And he's from Nebraska. And Nick says, how do I connect with my 12-year-old son who's currently homeschooled and enjoys playing too many video games? You know, we got a lot of kids that are home right now because of the virus and the social distancing. So, Mylan, Jill, what would you suggest?
Well, I think 12 years old, this is a good time to intervene. And so I'm glad you're asking this question at 12 and not 16. And so many kids, you know, this is happening to, being home so much, and they're cut off from friends. And so the video games where they can connect with people is a really fun thing. But there needs to be a balance. And right now, so much has been out of balance. So as, you know, moving forward, you know, and because of the longevity of this, I think, you know, you need to start making some shifts, because there's nothing that replaces the face-to-face relationship. Mm-hmm. And that's really important. And Nick, as his dad, you are in a key prime position to help him, because, you know, by 12-13, you know, we moms, we've given them, you know, a lot of what they need, and we tend to make them feel younger, and dads are the ones that help to, you know, pull kids out into the world. I think that any opportunity to get him outside, go on a hike, you know, go bike riding, go for walks, find some kind of activity that the two of you can do together that involves getting him out of the house and away from electronics. Because we also know that we all need sunlight. We need that fresh air. It's good for us. We need exercise. He's a young boy. And in doing an activity together, that helps to facilitate talking and engaging. And it's a time away from the house, too, that it's not about what chores he needs to do or homework. It's about just getting to know him and delighting in who he is.
Thank you, Jill. That's good. Mylan?
I do. I think that's really great. I would add to that and simply say, but does Nick know how to connect to anybody?
Mm-hmm.
You see?
Right.
That what you said, Jill, necessitates
that you're right.
A person knows how to ask questions and has an emotional intelligence and relational intelligence that allows them to really investigate what's going on inside the other person.
Right.
And so I would have to ask Nick, does he know how to connect with anybody? You know, what's going on in his marriage? What's going on with friends? Is it more than superficial? And so the number one leadership trait and characteristic that's the most coveted and the most important is emotional intelligence, that we are made like God with feelings and emotions. But yet, as a society, we never talk about feelings and emotions. Mm-hmm. So it's a topic that's completely ignored. In homeschooling or in public or private education, it's all left brain cognitive. Nobody mm-hmm. teaches emotional intelligence anymore. And I love the movie Inside Out by Pixar from 10 years ago, because it talked about the number of emotions that are inside of us.
Mm-hmm.
And then I loved the last scene of that movie because there's a big red button, and the guy said, "What's that big red button?" And he goes, "Well, that's puberty." And when puberty hits, these emotions grow bigger. And so he's 12, and he's at a perfect age to develop a relationship. So the ability to ask thoughtful, contemplative questions that require a person stop and take stock and learn self-awareness. And then we learn to ask more questions to probe and pull that out. You know, the Bible talks about the soul is like a well, and we have to pull out of it what is in there. So in our book, How We Love, we have a lot of questions in there and conversation sheets. Even a game, is it the Ungame? What is the name that has questions you ask?
Yep, it's Ungame.
Even something like that is really great to ask and make people think and get out of their structured little world as they bike, as they fish, as they walk and hike.
Right. Yeah, and you're right about that. And it may be that Nick, you know, like, does Nick have a friend, an adult peer friend that's male, you know, that he could practice interacting with? Right? Or a mentor.
Or so a spouse.
Or a spouse would be good, too. Yeah. I'm thinking in terms of them connecting with the son. Right?
Absolutely.
But a spouse, too.
I want to throw this out there. Mylan, you were talking about these questions and how to connect. And I'm wondering about how many parents out there, like maybe we could give them one or two questions that maybe they should check in with their kids each day. I mean, I know that's a very simplified way of doing that, but I think it would be helpful to not only Nick, but anybody else that might be struggling with that. Yeah, how do I connect?
Well, when Kevin was 13 or 14, Amy was 11 or 12, John was 9, and Kelly was a baby, the very first thing we did was we put a feelings word list on the refrigerator because our kids always went to the refrigerator. Okay, so that's a common place for them to go.
Perfect location.
Then we would ask them, what feelings are they feeling today? And they'd have to go look at that. And they even make one that just has facial pictures on it.
Yes.
And then we learned to ask them questions like, you know, what were the great parts of your day and what were the worst parts of your day and what are the feelings that accompanied those? When somebody comes home from their day, instead of asking them, what'd you do today, asking them, how do they feel, and what were the things that caused you to feel that way? So it's a way of pushing into the emotions, and those are a few ideas.
I love those ideas, and I knew that's what you were going to say, because I've heard you say that before, and I want parents out there to hear that, because it really can make a big difference. We're going to continue taking your calls for a while, so call us at 1-800-229-3000, and we will be right back.
I was really living a very anxiety-filled life. I turned on New Life, and the topic that day was about anxiety. And just by listening, I got relief.
You can help New Life Live stay on the air by joining Club New Life today. When you sign up to support us monthly through Club New Life, we'll send you the new member thank you gift of 7 books, including Growth Has No Boundaries by Drs. John Townsend and Henry Cloud, Take Your Life Back by Steve Arterburn and Dr. Dave Stoop, and the Emotional Freedom Workbook. Plus, there are ongoing benefits like access to the Club New Life video library, the monthly Club New Life CD or download, quarterly resources, free shipping on purchased resources, and discounts on workshops. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433. Support Club New Life, and together we can help hurting people find help and hope in life's hardest places. Call 1-800-639-5433 to join Club New Life today. Glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
Welcome back. I know that you all just were reverberating with what Mylan was saying, and I was just saying at the break that so many of you are having to parent in such a weird way now. You're used to having them go off to school or have all kinds of different social interactions that don't always include you. But Mylan, would you just share what you said after that call about when this started for you?
Well, I disclosed that obliquely by indicating the ages of my kids, which meant I was 37, 38, 39 years old when we were first learning this, Kay and I. And we realized that there was an element that was missing in our lives. And we didn't, so we started this. we didn't start with the children, you know, brand new. We
right.
introduced this at precisely Nick's son's age, 12 years old. And so to say we had to catch up as parents to things we didn't know that our school system didn't train us to do. The church didn't train us to do. And college didn't train us to do, unless you're perhaps a psychologist or someone involved in the field of emotions and cognition. And it was something we've developed for the last 40 years, so it or 30 years. So it just took time. And you mustn't be afraid to start wherever you are. Today's the day you start that.
That's right. Reclaim your future.
That's right. It's exactly right.
That's what
right.
we're talking about.
Or claim it. As
That's right.
So you're saying don't be anxious about it, like you're going to blow it, you're going to do the wrong thing. Starting now, starting today is good enough.
Right. And then you have to be willing to hear negative emotions.
That's right.
Yes.
And there's nothing wrong with them. They won't harm you. They won't contaminate you. They won't give you a fatal disease. We have to be able to learn to tolerate, back to the beginning of our show, reality. Because people live in negative emotions. And if won't listen to them, who is?
Right.
And so people will blank them out with video games and or other things that make their mind forget the pain they're feeling.
Right.
Yeah.
And or addictions or pot or whatever.
So the goal, though, is to hear your child.
That's right. And tolerate it, not fix it.
Yes. Yes, exactly.
Right. I love it. And so if you want to hear more or read more, go. You can get a copy of HowWeLove.com or How We Love. You could go to HowWeLove.com.
Or How We Love Our Kids.
Or How We Love Our Kids. Right now we're going to talk to Larry, who we love. And
how We Love Our Larry.
How We Love Our Larry.
Yes.
Larry, what would you... It will be a good book to read.
Oh, thanks, Becky. I've got a testimony I want to read because This radio program is more amazing than we give it credit for, and the help that it gives people. And here's what this lady wrote. My son has a neurological disorder, which is marked by both high unemployment and high-rated depression that can lead to suicide. Further, both my husband and I had to overcome deep childhood wounds of our own to become the parents our son needed. None of this would have been possible without the wise counsel of New Life Ministries. With the help of the phenomenal radio program and a New Life counselor, we forged a strong marriage and a strong parenting partnership based on the sound biblical principles. I'm forever grateful to God for putting me in the right place at the right time to hear your program. Please consider the enclosed donation, as well as those made in the past and those yet to come, as a fraction of the down payment due on a debt of eternal gratitude. The benefits received from listening to the great advice given to your callers over the years is thanks enough.
Wow.
So, folks, if you can support that, you're supporting life change. You're supporting we were just talking about parenting. You're helping a parent that didn't know what to do and now has a handle on it. And they've got a great relationship. And it could have been with a child who had a suicidal tendency. So, you know, God bless you for your gifts. Thank you. We'll send you the New Life Journal if you make a gift this month, any size. And please consider joining our monthly giving program, Club New Life. Give us a call at 800-NEW-LIFE. You can make the gift there, online, or send a check.
That's great.
I got to add, so what does their money do? And that's the most important thing, because Christian radio pays to be on the air. And so it costs a lot of money to put this Christian show on the radio, unlike all other public stations where the commercials pay for that slot. Christian radio
it's
has to pay
Christian
for it.
Part of our Christian persecution, right?
Well,
in a sense.
It is. So.
And so when you ask for support, this would not be on the radio if people didn't help support it.
Right.
And so I think that's something that's atypical and not something people think about. They just push the button on the radio and it's, you know, it works. So they don't think about having where'd the money come from.
Thank you. That's so true. And we find it a privilege to serve in this way too, you know, that we want to be available for folks. And right now we're going to be available for Ruth, who's calling us from Dallas, listens on KWRD. Love that station. And Ruth, thanks for waiting. How can we help you today?
Hey, guys. I just want to tell you how much I appreciate your show, of course, like everybody does.
Yay.
And I was listening earlier when you were giving advice about the toxic family member with the borderline personality issue, and so I was really trying to glean some help from that. And what I heard is great for a family member, but what about if that is your spouse?
Well, that's a whole different thing now, isn't it?
So for you, you see yourself as the toxic member of the family?
No.
Oh.
Did you say self or spouse? Did you say spouse?
Oh, sorry.
I thought she said self too, but she said spouse.
So your spouse, Ruth, is okay. Well, how? What do you think he's dealing with or not dealing with?
Oh, I think he really has a lot of issues similar to borderline personality and just OCD, chronic, and it's very controlling in the household. And when you were talking to them, I heard how I feel, you know, whenever you're not good enough, you never measure up to the expectations. And so then you start to lose your own identity and trying to make sure this person's emotions aren't going to ruin your day.
Okay. Well, Mylan. Mylan or Jill? Let's hear what Mylan and Jill have to say, Ruth, and see if they can help.
Thank you.
You know, Becky, you said, well, that's another thing or that's a different thing. And I would have to say, no, I think it's the same thing. But it's harder because it's your spouse and you're married to them. But the same principles apply, Ruth, because we have to decide what will I and what will I not do anymore. And we have to be the ones to set a line in the sand to say, no, this is as far as I go. Now I require something of you. People with high levels of anxiety and OCD, et cetera, those people are very controlling. And they're controlling to create a stability in their life so that they aren't frightened or hurt like they were once upon a time. It has historical roots to it. So, Ruth, what you have to decide is what will you put up with? And sometimes we have to get very strong. And we have to be able to say, I'm not going to do this anymore. Here's what I'm requiring of you if you want to stay in relationship with me. And that sounds severe, but that's no different than what God does with us. That's exactly what he does.
And
he says,
loving.
I love you so much, but if you want to have a relationship, here's the rules. You have to go through a blood-stained wooden beam that my son hung on, and that is the rule for my relationship with you. Mm-hmm. And so it's called a boundary, or it's called a specific path. And that's something, a choice you have to make, and you're going to have a lot of people around you to require something of him.
And I think, you know, just like with children, being firm but loving is the most effective way, excuse me, of interacting. And so I think, you know, giving a lot of empathy and encouragement of love and then, you know, setting your boundary, you know. I love you, but this doesn't work. What?
Yes. I have begun setting those boundaries.
Good.
In love and in God's truth. And one thing I have noticed is it always stops him in his tracks at that moment.
Good.
When I present it in love and truth. Because you can't argue with that.
Right.
That's great. It's a great way to start. We're going to go to a break. You can hear the music in the background. Ruth, I want to encourage you, if you haven't already thought about it, you guys need to come to our Intimacy and Marriage Workshop. It's going to be February 13th. It's online. We'll connect you with somebody in the call center, but we're going to send her a copy of How We Love, because if she's already begun the process, this will be a good next step. But I can't say enough about, how the Intimacy and Marriage Workshop would make such a huge impact in her life. In any married person's life, really.
And in the husband's life.
And in
right,
the husband's
right,
life, right.
Because he's got a lot to learn.
Right. We'll be right back because we have lots of calls to take.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
Welcome back. We are so glad you're with us, but we are taking more calls. You can call us at 1-800-229-3000. We want to help you in any way possible. We had somebody who was holding on, had a question about anger, but they hung up, so they might have had to wait too long. You just got to call back and be patient with us, and we want to answer your questions. Let's go to Marie, who's calling us from Seattle, and her question, she listens on the internet, and you can too at newlife.com, or you can download our app for free from wherever you get your apps, and you can listen to the program, but you can also get all kinds of great resources on the app. Hi, Marie. I'm glad you're calling. How can we help you today?
Well, hi, guys. I'm interested to hear from you in regards to how I can maintain a friendly relationship with my grown sister.
Okay. I'm going to give some more details on that.
Yeah. Okay. And I've heard from the ministry over the years, if it's hysterical, it's historical. Mm-hmm. And so that, you know, matches. She has history with our natural father because of what he did to her as a child. Mm. And then an event happened, a tragic event happened with the family, and she left home and came back as being overdosed by PCP. And then so she was hospitalized in the mental hospital. Mm. And then, but then she didn't follow any, you know, like prescribed course of action. So then with, in terms of the high functioning and just, you know, using, you know, street drugs, you know, she levels out and she gets her 2-year, 4-year, and for the last 5 years is like 3 lesson plans away from her master's. Hmm. So
so what's your question then, Marie? Mm-hmm. What would you like us to help with?
Okay. When my reality doesn't match hers, I'm charged with treason. You know, she uses profanity, and the worst of it, and this is bugging the heck out of me, she closes the phone on me. She hangs up. In the old days, we could say hang up the phone.
Yeah. She hangs up the phone. She hangs up on you.
And that is bugging the heck out of me. It really is. So I block her. Mm. Someone's blocked, then you get, they can still get a voicemail through. So I get these nasty voicemails.
Okay.
And then
right,
I get a greeting card in the mail.
Okay. So
I don't know how to go ahead.
Ask your question.
I don't know how to maintain something friendly to where, you know, the Bible says guard your heart with all diligence. It's a little bit rough right now as, you know, someone who doesn't, you know, I'm in school and it consumes all my time. I'm older and I, you know,
okay. I think Jill and I think Jill and Mylon might be able to help you here, Marie.
Yeah. Marie, like I'm sorry. You know, it's always so disheartening and hurtful when you have somebody as close as a sister, you know, a family member, and there's this much conflict. And the fact that it's consuming you, that's not a good thing. She's taking up way too much real estate. And, you know, you have this goal, this idea, I want to be friendly, I want to have this relationship with my sister. Marie, what if that's not possible? And what if that's holding you hostage, that idea? You know?
Here's the thing.
Okay.
I don't like her company.
Okay.
It would,
you know what? Sometimes I feel, actually I feel, and the consuming part is that school consumes me.
Okay.
And so then any social interaction that I have, I want it to be like really delightful. And that's with anybody, because I don't have a social life because of school. So the school is what's consuming me.
Okay.
With my sister, I don't enjoy her company at all whatsoever. I feel icky around her. I don't want to be around her. She pursues me, you know, and then I fall into this thing where God, you are a God of love. You are a God of restitution. You are a God of reconciliation. My feet are shod in the preparation of the gospel of peace, etc. And so, but I, you know, this, I, how do you, you can't make somebody keep a boundary like
that. That's right. So it's like, you know, when you rage at me, when you curse at me, that ends our conversation. I'm not able to hear you. It shuts down our relationship. And so I won't be engaging with you when you do this kind of behavior. And then you just don't.
Mylan, what would you offer, Marie?
Well, Marie, you're asking a question that is not mm-hmm. possible, as Jill is saying, how to have a friendly relationship. Even Jesus didn't have friendly relationships with everyone.
Right.
The other thing is you put a lot of words together that don't match, like forgiveness and safe relationships and reconciliation and all that stuff. Forgiveness doesn't have reconciliation attached to it.
Right. It's two separate.
It's two separate issues, and not everybody is safe to reconcile with. The last thing I'll say, and this is really important because our show is almost over. When I'm around someone that is in a rageful state, it is important to not try to talk left brain to them. That is, logic does not work. If they are emotionally inflamed, you have to talk to them in emotional words. So when someone is in a state of rage, I look at them and I say, boy, there's something that has really hurt you or is scaring you on the inside. I can tell. What is hurting or scaring you? I was with a stranger in a public restaurant who was in a rage, a literal rage, and had the whole place hostage with her rage because somebody shushed her because she was being too loud. And then it was this big standoff, and she sat next to me in a chair. And all I said to her is, who shushed you when you were a little girl? And she turned around and she looked at me and she just said, who in the blankety blank are you? And I said, well, I'm so-and-so and I'm a counselor. And she goes, I hate counselors. They're always trying to. And I said, who shushed you when you were a little girl? And she started crying. And she immediately stopped her rage because I could see, I said, somebody didn't treat you well as a little kid. Somebody hurt you, and I feel so sorry for that part of you. And it was amazingly de-escalating. And that's something we don't learn to do, but it's called right-brain to right-brain connection and realizing there's a history for that pain. And you already told us, Marie, what her history was. She'd been violated, and there's no justice in all that. So she's going to be keen on justice and things being a certain way. And if you talk to her about her pain, and make sure that you do, force her to not avoid it and turn to drugs to get it away, but resonate with her pain. Now, our show is almost up. Becky, I'm sorry.
No, that's a great answer.
I went a little long right there.
No, that was great. And I think, you know, that's what so many people need to learn in handling relationships mm-hmm. that are real tricky. And mm-hmm. you just laid it out perfectly. I want to encourage everybody, you know, first of all, we're taking more calls. So call us at 1-800-229-3000. We want to help you. And many times family is at the issue, but it might be a personal thing. But, you know, call us. Also, check out Going Deeper podcast. Steve is talking today about weight loss and frustration, low frustration tolerance. I know nobody has that problem. But yeah, you can check out wherever you get your podcasts. We are so glad you listened today. Thanks for calling.
Thanks for listening. We hope this program has helped you by giving you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you. But you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry.
to make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433 or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1029, Lake Forest, California, 92609. Please join us again tomorrow for New Life Live. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using the New Life app. Visit newlife.com to download the app today.